You're listening to GNet Radio.
Welcome to episode 21. I am joined here with our good friend, Critical Failure. If anybody cannot tell, Tony is not going to be with us tonight, and Critical Failure and his son have decided to last second join us. So we are going to be flying by the seat of our pants here, but I've got a good feeling. I think it's going to be a pretty good episode. So Critical Failure, thank you very much for joining last second, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man. It is an honor to be on the show.
We appreciate that. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Well, I run a podcast called Tiger Claw Radio, and I do some YouTube videos, a little project called Tiger Claw TV, and you can see the sum of those two things at my website, which is tigerclawtv.com. And I also do some chip tunes, and I believe you guys are still using that old the Heroes track, right?
Oh, yeah. Every episode. We will until we stop. It fits our... fits our episodes just perfectly. We were pumped when we first came across that. So,
yeah, I'm glad, because since then your show has gotten a lot bigger than my show. So I could say, yeah, they use my track.
I don't know if that's the case. We can we can compare bogus statistics later and figure that out. But anyways, you have a new before we jump into email, you have a new chiptune album coming out, don't you? I think I've heard you talk about it a couple times on Tiger Claw.
Yeah, I have a little album I've been working on called Awesome Jeff, which is a reference to Maniac Mansion, because Jeff is the one character I could never get any use out of.
Okay.
It's just a collection of my Famitracker work. I'm trying to throw in a couple of novelties, and it's open source music. If you run a podcast or if you make YouTube videos and you need some music that you don't have to worry about licensing for, that's what it's for. Ideally, what I want to do is start making music for freeware games, get with some like small-time freeware developers and
nice.
Make music that way. But for now, I'm just making chiptunes. So that should be out in like a month or so.
Awesome. Yeah, well, we definitely appreciate the theme song. It's some of my favorite videos on YouTube are the ones where somebody has a theme song, and I'll find myself watching 5-6 videos in a row of somebody and getting their song stuck in my head. And I definitely picked out Heroes, hoping to have that effect on people that might listen to a few episodes in a row. So, fingers crossed, and that'll be the case, and it'll be recognizable to a few people.
Fingers crossed. I know that song hasn't been used anywhere else.
we'll call dibs then. But anyways, Critical Failure, before we get into the show, I do want to give a couple shout-outs to some people that wrote into the show. Our good buddy Juan, who has wrote in several times, Juan just wanted to write into the show too, congratulating us on making it to episode 20. We were pretty surprised that it came up on us this quickly. I don't know how Tiger Claw Radio has been for you, but I feel like we've only been doing this for a month or so. So to be at actually 20 episodes was pretty surprising for the two of us.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, you guys haven't missed a week since you started, right?
That's correct. Not yet, we haven't. Which we're hoping... We'll be good in the long run. I know that there's some podcasts out there I listen to that have like over 100 episodes, and I feel like you have to really stay on your game to do that.
Yeah, I've been doing this for 2 years now. It'll be 2 years in about a month. And the first year, I only cranked out about 16 episodes.
Okay.
So now that I'm doing it every week, I'm right there with you. It's like, it's amazing how fast the number climbs,
yeah.
Or how fast it seems to climb.
I know ever since, like, or you and then Gooch and the Douchebag, you guys were pretty sporadic there for a while, but I'm pumped that you guys are on GNet, because then I get stuff to listen to throughout the week at work, and I've got a job that's pretty mundane if you don't have something to listen to. So it's cool to see you guys getting more frequent with your episode releases.
It's been really fun to, like, kind of work in cooperation with each other.
Yeah.
Like you and me and Jerry Terrifying and Gene DB, we've all been pretty cooperative. You know, whenever one has something going on, it's usually everybody kind of rallies around.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more fun that way. I mean, we're not competing for market share, so you might as well make friends with it, right?
Yeah, I feel you on that one.
And then we also had an email from our friend Dustin Vogler. If anybody didn't listen to any of our earlier episodes, he actually wrote in about a charity that he's running called Extra Life, just to give ask if we could give him another shout out, and it's we'll have the YouTube video linked again. He's been a listener of the show, so we really, really appreciate that. But Extra Life is basically a fundraiser where people sponsor him to play video games, and it's almost like a walk for awareness type of a situation. Is that the understanding that you have of it?
I think that sounds about right. Okay. I have heard less of it than you have.
I gotcha. Okay. Well, and then also he referenced that our iTunes subscription link is broken. I don't know how you feel about iTunes. I hate it. It's a crappy.
It's a terrible program.
Awful. Which is surprising.
I despise iTunes.
So I refuse to use it. I actually downloaded it and set up an account just so I could give...
You'll never get it off your machine.
That's what I hear, but I
try and uninstall it. It won't work.
Really?
Yeah.
That sucks.
I'm sorry, bro. That's it. Yeah, it's I can't stand iTunes. Every experience I've had with it has been horrible.
That's been my situation, but I did it just so I could give Jerry Terrifying a review. So, mm-hmm. Jerry, if my computer is all gummed up forever because you're just going to owe me, bud. Just remember that.
That's fun.
But anyway, so we're going to do our best to try to get the subscription link fixed. I did try to subscribe to it, and I think that it might be user error on my part because I don't really know what's going on. I'm under the assumption that episodes are just supposed to populate my iTunes, and they're not. So... if anybody out there is having this trouble, Face Puncher, best name ever, that left us a review on iTunes, made a similar comment. So I emailed Podbean about it today, see if we can get it fixed. I don't know how long we'll be with them anyway, so here for the time being, just check us out at classicleet.podbean.com, or you can listen to us at classicleet.com, or just search individually. Well, let's go ahead and... jump in. The first thing that I wanted to talk about today was a quick mention of videogamecowboys.com. Our good friend Triverse has a website running with Nick from the Retro League, and it's an awesome video game blog. So anybody that likes video game news, definitely check that. I've seen new and old stuff there. CF, you've checked it out a little bit, right?
I'm just checking it out now for the first time since he kind of went public with it, and it's really nice, I gotta say. I'm really impressed.
Me too. And one of the games that I would actually recommend following Video Game Cowboys on Twitter too, because they update it pretty regularly, so you get quick links with basically a headline to articles that come through. It's all work-safe content that I've seen for the most part, and they give you a pretty good idea of whether or not it's an article you'd be interested in. So I would definitely recommend following them on Twitter. And the reason I bring that up is because I clicked on one of those links for a game called Explodemon. See, if I know I was telling you before the show a little bit about it.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
It's like a 3D, it's like a 2.5D, but strictly platformer. So it has a new Super Mario Brothers for the Wii type of feel.
You mean 2.5D like Doom or 2D rendered in 3D graphics?
2D rendered in 3D graphics.
Okay. That sounds cool.
It's a really good-looking game. Basically, I didn't get to play it. It's unfortunately only a PlayStation download right now. And I'm not sure if it's out yet or not, but it reminded me a little bit of Vector Man. Didn't you just get into Vector Man or Vector Man 2? Didn't someone send that to you?
I just got into the Sega Genesis. I just got into the Genesis in general in the last 6 months.
Okay.
A lot of guys in the community have like come out and given me some of their extra Genesis games. Vector Man and Vector Man 2 were never really played those games before. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like a new experience for me.
Excellent. Both of those are excellent. I played a lot of Vector Man 1 growing up, but
I think I like the first one a little better.
You do? Okay. Well, that's good to know that.
Not to slide you off track. But.
Well, no, that's fine. Well, it's just I'm really, really bad about being biased with things that I used to like. I think that's
common
for most people. But I try when I'm talking about games to not be super, super biased. Mm-hmm. And I see Vector Man 2, and I don't even really want to pick it up, to be quite honest with you. Just because I'm wondering if it'll have like a DuckTales 2. I feel, you know what I mean? Where it looks just as good, but it's missing something.
Vector Man 2 strikes me as the kind of thing where they just made different levels with the same game.
Okay.
And slapped a 2 on it.
Yeah.
I didn't find it as fun because it was, maybe I'm just not good at it, but it seemed really confusing to me.
Okay.
But, it wasn't bad.
Well, I guess if I run across a cheap copy, I'll pick it up because I did like the first one a lot. But the game Explode Mine does remind me of Vector Man a little bit. You know, there's that double jump feature in Vector Man that they use pretty well.
Right.
This has your guy, your Explode Mine. He explodes and it makes you look like you double jump. Except it looks like you also use the explode feature to destroy enemies or like get objects out of the way. And then on Wikipedia, they said that there's also puzzle solving involved too.
Oh, that's cool.
Are you you're a pretty big platform fan, aren't you? Am I?
You know, I think I was up until a certain point.
Okay.
I think, and I know I'm gonna get a lot of flack for this. In my head, Super Mario 64 was like the last good platformer.
Okay.
But. Not really that it was the last good one, just that it was the last one that I really liked. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, definitely. I could, you know, spit off a whole bunch of platformers that I think you'd enjoy that I think are really good, but if that's the last one you got into, no one give you too much flack for that.
Yeah, after that, I started to see him. I was like, oh, that game looks cool. Now let me go play something else.
Yeah. Well, that was actually one of the reasons I brought up. I'm glad that you mentioned what you did, because one of the bullet notes I have is that it looks like the puzzles will change up the gameplay a lot. And when it comes to platforming, I think puzzles are a great way to keep it from being monotonous and get boring on you.
Oh, yeah.
So it's interesting that without, you know, having you prompted, that the first thing you kind of allude to, or at least the impression that I got, is that you were alluding to the fact that it can get a little boring a little quickly. So having puzzles and using an exploding function, I think, could be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I've gotten back into platformers a little bit more because I've been into like playing a lot of freeware games.
Okay.
There's Explode Mon, right? That's an indie game. Not freeware, but indie, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's on, can you get it on Wii or is it just Xbox or PlayStation?
I'm so out of touch with what's available for the Wii. I have no idea. Yeah. I went looking for virtual console games this past week for the first time in over a year.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, ever since I've gotten, I got an Xbox recently, and the price points are so much better on Xbox Live versus Nintendo. It's the $5 or $10, you know, that five or nothing sort of price point that they have sucks. And then only being able to buy games, points $10 at a time, and there's no price break.
I hate that.
And there's no price break for buying more. It's like, all right, yeah.
There have been a lot of times where I would have dropped like $5 on a game, and I didn't because they, you know, they make you spend 10.
Yeah, and you know they have that to a point with Xbox, but with Xbox Live, the smallest increment you can buy is $5. So I think that's fair. I would like to have it on demand, you know, where you can just point and click, and whatever it costs. But that's just me. Things that make sense usually don't get implemented.
Yeah, you know, Xbox. You're talking about Xbox, and I have had so many problems with their hardware. Like, I've never owned an Xbox 360, but I watch all the complaints about their hardware, and it has definitely kept me from wanting one.
So, I was pretty nervous about getting one, but I was getting an Xbox, we thought, on eBay, and the seller just never sent it.
Oh, that sucks.
So while I'm waiting, because it was a great deal, while I'm waiting, I bought all this stuff. So then when it didn't come, I had all these accessories, and I felt like I was
that sucks.
Too far into the quagmire, if you will, to like back out of it. And I'm like, oh, screw it. I'll just – they say the new one works, so whatever.
Sorry for laughing, but that's really –
I was pissed at the time, though, but I'm over it. I got an Xbox and it works, so. The only thing that bums me out about Explodemon is it's only a PS3 or PS Network release. Curve Studios that did the game also has some PSP releases, so it looks like they're pretty strong with the Sony developing. But originally, it looked like it was going to come out on the Wii and the 360, and it just didn't. I don't have any info as to why, but that definitely bummed me out. So just a little update there. If you have a PlayStation 3 and you listen to this, please download Explodemon and let me know if it's any good or not. It looks incredible, though. So, and just based on the company's website, Curve Studios, you know how when you go to somewhere and you just get kind of a cool vibe?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I get from the website. It's very smooth. It's very animated. But it's minimal. It's a really cool site. I like it a lot. So I would imagine that their games are also pretty cool and to the point as well. So now the first thing I want to talk about with you is Donkey Kong Country. I know before we started recording, I mentioned this to you a little bit. What's your experience with, I guess, maybe Donkey Kong as a whole?
The first one I ever played was Donkey Kong. I have the most memories of Donkey Kong Country. Okay. I'm not going to say it's the first one I ever played, because obviously, you know, the first one was good old Donkey Kong.
Sure.
But I thought it was cool, man. And I remember when the second one came out. See, it was one of those games where I played the series as a kid, and I probably haven't played it since then. So, like, I remember liking it a lot. But at the same time, memories are sketchy, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's tough to say. I remember playing the second one and, like, having it, like, start on the boat. Because in the second one, you start on a boat. And in the first one, it ends on a boat.
Okay.
The atmosphere was different. And I always thought Diddy Kong and the girl from the third one were both really lame characters. So I always thought the first one was best because that was the one that was centered around good old DK.
Nice. See, I had never played it. I grew up as a Genesis kid. I didn't have a Super Nintendo. But I was watching trailers and whatnot for the new Donkey Kong Country. I'm looking for a reason to dust off my Wii. I have completely put it away since I beat Super Mario 2 or Super Mario Galaxy 2. And just Mario Galaxy, duh. But
right.
Anyways, after beating the second one, I haven't really had any sort of an itch to fire it up for anything else. So I'm hoping that this would be a game that I could get into. I think I've committed myself to buying Donkey Kong Country right when it comes out, and I had never played it before, so. My first impressions, since I hadn't played it, I don't have the, I guess, rose-colored glasses to look through. And the game holds up well, man. It's really good.
It's good platforming, that's for sure. I was a little shocked to find out something I found out much later. I think they mentioned this on the Retro League. As it turns out, that game was originally, like, conceptually supposed to be a lot more like Yoshi's Island. With that, like, thick, colorful, cartoony feel to it.
Yeah.
And what I actually came up with was, like, something that they thought they could sell to Westerners.
Oh, okay. No, yeah. Did they just talk about that in their new episode?
That was, like, a long time ago.
A long time ago, okay.
Yeah.
There was something else. I know that it says that this was, according to Wikipedia, the first Donkey Kong game. That was not produced by Miyamoto. I think he was part of, like, the arcade ones, the Donkey Kong Jr. and Donkey Kong 3, and I think in this one it said that maybe he wasn't. I could be wrong, and I could have done a sloppy job with our Wikipedia, so.
You're sloppy. You got to tighten up.
I know. Oh, it's the worst.
Tighten up those Wikipedia searches.
And then for 1994, the graphics, I think, still hold up pretty well. Understanding that it is, you know, going kind of back to that era, and
they managed to make it look really realistic for the SNES.
That's what I thought.
If that the graphics in that game are more realistic than a good portion of 64 games. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, completely agree. And you know, it's almost like they should have tried to take more advantage of pre-rendered graphics, because it really creates that optical illusion that you get the depth that you're not really kind of expecting to have when all the, like the bananas, for example, they look like they have, you know, it doesn't look like a banana shape. It looks like a full-on banana.
Yeah.
Or like the barrels or whatever. So, yeah, I guess I'm a little surprised that they didn't utilize that as well as maybe they could have for graphics on 64.
Oh, yeah, and the minecart level's really fun, too. I forgot about those.
You know, I haven't even gotten that far yet.
There's one, like maybe 30 minutes into the game or something. There's one relatively quick.
I'm trying to think, the cart one.
I don't think it's an entire level. I think it's like the beginning of a level.
Okay, I'd have to go back. I'm sure that I have. I'm stuck right now on, I want to say it's only like the second or third time that you pass like a save point. So I'm sure that if it's in the first 30 minutes of the game, I played it and just don't remember it. So
it's been a long time. I could be wrong about that.
You probably have a better recollection than myself, unfortunately. College was a little too much fun, and I don't really remember everything I do all the time. So
college, man.
Unfortunately, yeah. but the one of the coolest things was the level designers creative. Do you remember the barrel spitting sections?
Oh yeah,
that.
Yeah, I had a really hard time with that.
Me too. But it's a good challenging. It felt satisfying when I finally got the pattern figured out.
Didn't have to stay stuck for too long. I think that's the thing.
Yeah, it felt fair with the difficulty,
yeah.
Which back then didn't happen all that often.
That's a fact. That's a fact.
I think if it's a $5 game on WiiWare or Virtual Console, I would definitely recommend buying it or doing the ROM, or if you see it out.
That would be $8 on the Virtual Console.
It's $8 on the Virtual Console? Okay.
I'm pretty sure, because all SNES games are 800 points, which equates to $8.
Gotcha.
Of course,
okay.
You can't put $8 into the Virtual Console. It has to be in $10 increments.
And then you're really screwed. Then you have to buy another $10 just to make that 200 points worth it.
Yeah,
so in the end...
I got 100 points sitting in my account. It's been there for like a year and a half, almost 2 years now.
You do? Well, go get Donkey Kong, man. There you go. If you see it, I guess, online or... I got
not good enough with math for the Virtual Console. Can't do all that crazy adding and subtracting.
You need like a built-in calculator. Like an iPhone app for it. How do you tell if you can buy this Wii game? I would definitely get it if you see it for 10 or 15 bucks, too.
You know, not to derail you, but you were talking about needing a reason to dust off your Wii. I don't use my Wii for a whole lot either. If you have anything that has multiplayer, maybe we could do a little friend code swappage.
That would be sweet. You know, were you an Excitebike fan?
I love that game, but I never got the newer one. Is it any good?
I think it's awesome. And you can play online. The only thing that was frustrating is you could only play multiple player if it was online with one Wii connected to another Wii. So if we were in the same room, we couldn't sit down and play it together.
Oh, it sucks.
It's kind of like, okay.
Lame.
But considering you're halfway across the country, it actually works out better that way.
Yeah.
So that one's not bad. Or, man, I don't know. I'd have to go back.
I don't know what the tagline is, but it's the WiiWare Bomberman game. And they might have even come out with another one since then.
I have a WiiWare Bomberman game downloaded that I haven't played. I bought it because I figured my girlfriend would like it. She took one look at it and was like, this is stupid. I'm not playing it. Okay. So
pretty lame. I'm convinced there's some way to cheat in the game. Because when you play against people who like have been playing a lot, it's like you can't even play the game. It's like you play the game and you're already dead.
Yeah.
So that's definitely a game that you can really only play if you have some friend codes.
Okay. Well, then there you go. Well, if you already have that or if you're interested, I'll look to see which one I have. We'll get that connected. That's sweet. I've actually gotten hooked on this whole playing games with people that I don't really know. Mm-hmm. Like I was playing some campaign with Gooch in Halo Reach. It was weird. I don't know. Like I'm new to this being able to play with people online thing.
You know, from what I understand, the Xbox is tuned much more to that.
that's what I've, the interfacing is really easy to deal with. It's just really intuitive. Like, hey, I want to talk to him. So it's just click on his name and it works. You know what I mean?
Whereas if we decide to play a Wii game, we have to exchange 16-digit codes. And not to mention, Bomberman has its own 16-digit code.
Are you kidding? I'm
totally serious.
Well, I'll make sure to pull my game fact on how to load Bomberman before I trade info with you. Well, yeah, then definitely. Xbox Live is really easy with that, so the idea of playing with people online is awesome, and I can see why it gets so addicting. When it comes to games, I just never really got into the social aspect of it if it wasn't with someone in the same room as me.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm the opposite, and the reason why is because I'm the youngest of five children, and most of them were boys.
Oh, so you don't get to play.
So I didn't mind not having anyone else in the room when I played.
That's fair enough.
Dude, you suck. You suck at Zelda, man.
Give me the controller. I used to...
Give me a soda.
Oh, man, I was such a jerk to my little brother, too. I feel bad, but such is life, right? He's got thicker skin than I do now because of it, so...
There you go.
I'll always take credit for anything he does.
Yeah, see, now every time I go to see my brother, it's like, you want to fight? And he's a bodybuilder, so that's always a bad idea. I always get in trouble.
That stinks. I always tell myself that I can still beat up my brother, but I don't know if I could. But I like to just think I'll have the mental big brother edge. Well, hey, what do you do? You have any topics that we can steal from Tiger Claw Radio to talk about?
Absolutely. Let's open up the list here. Let's see. So lately, I've been working on this special. I'm trying to put together like a 6-hour special. I don't know why I'm doing it. I think just because I want to have a testing ground to try some weird stuff.
Actually, let me cut you off there. Tell me a little bit about that. I've only seen you tweet a little bit about it and reference it on TigerClawTV.com.
Well, the story was, I think it was like 2 in the morning. And something about 2 in the morning, whenever the clock strikes 2 a.m., the worst ideas come out, and they always stick. You know, because if I had this thought at like 1 in the afternoon, I'd be like, oh, that's a horrible idea. I'm going to go back to playing games. I was like, yeah, man, it's going to be 6 hours long, and I'm going to just talk about everything, and everybody I know is going to be on it. And it's not going to be boring, somehow. That's it. The whole idea is that I'm going to set up a donations page. I'm going to try and coax some donations. That never really works, but we'll see. Because the whole point is it's basically like the Jerry Lewis telethon for me to get a decent microphone.
I gotcha.
Yeah. So,
Well, I'd rather chip in on a good mic than get rid of a Nintendo game to send your way. So I'm a bit of a pack rat. So when I have something collectible, man, I have a hard time getting rid of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm the same way. Like, I watch YouTube videos a lot, and people are like, hey, I sent this package, and, like, I threw these extra games in. It's like, why?
I know.
You could have had those in your collection.
Like, I
had them. You could have had two! What if one breaks?
I know. I'm that way. Well, you never know. You never know.
The cartridges are 35 years old. They're for the Atari. It doesn't matter. You don't know what's going to happen to those cartridges.
I know. I'm the same way. So, Rob from the Retro League jokingly gave Classic Elite an award. So he actually emailed me and said he was going to send a few games my way. And I do. I have two copies of Mario Kart Double Dash for the GameCube.
Oh, very cool.
And so I said to him, hey, man, I will send this game your way as a thank you if you have a Wii or a GameCube. If not, I'll send it to someone at the Retro League, but even that, I was like, oh, do I send him the crappy GameStop one? Do I send him the...
Comes with a little paper sleeve.
Oh, like such an asshole, because I'm like, here he is like taking the time out of my his day to like think about something to send.
You're a bastard.
My, you know what I mean? It's like
you should be ashamed of yourself. That's not even a good game.
I know. Well, actually, no, I disagree with you there. So, yeah, anyways, now that I've derailed you, you're going to have – what? So you're going to have some guests on? Like, is there a
– Well, I have a few guys who have said that they would be on it. Among them are Sebastian, the half-blind gamer, yep. And Derek Alexander, the happy video game nerd. Oh, he's cool. Also the Starship Amazing guy.
Yeah.
One of them. And there's a couple of indie developers that Triverse has sent my way.
Great.
And I have an interview lined up with Splatter Trigger. He's a pretty popular YouTuber.
Nice.
Next Saturday, but I don't know if that's going to be on the special. That might just be a regular episode. So apart from that, I'm trying to round up the regular gang. Just all the regular guys. You know, you're more than welcome to be on the. You should be on the show. You should. Ooh.
Absolutely. I would love to, just for a second, or I'm sure we'll be able to get Tony on. I'm just pumped to hear that there's going to be a 6-hour thing. Are you going to break it up into...
Oh, yeah. That's the thing. It's not going to be for a while because I'm going to record it in pieces.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, like when I download it, am I
going to... Oh, it's going to be... It is going to be one 200 megabyte MP3.
You will get so many tweets about me cursing your name because I'll be like 4 hours into it and I'll accidentally hit skip on my MP3 player and I have the slowest fast forward thing on the, I've got like a Sirius radio. So anytime like when I hit, if I'm listening to Mino Coolcast and I hit next, like it's like daunting. Like yeah, I'll wait till I get motivated again.
I got lucky cause I'm using a Sansa Fuse, which is a cheap, iPod knockoff. But it has a podcast section. And when you play something in your podcast section, it behaves differently from songs. It holds it. Like if you skip to the next track and then go back, it picks up where it left off.
Brilliant. That's awesome.
Yeah, and however much it costs to have one of those, if you're really into podcasting, I've got to say, it beats the pants off an iPod.
I was about to say that. It might even be worth getting just to have. I have been using my phone. Because I can use a USB cable to hook it up to my computer at work.
Oh, that's cool.
And that works. I'll just drag it on the desktop or whatever and then just play it from there. But, yeah, it stinks, man. My fast-forward function just sucks.
I was considering making in the notes time signatures so you can skip around. So what I could do instead or, like, in addition to that is, like, open a brand new, like, archive.org listing. And then have them in chapters, so you can get the whole MP3, or you can grab the chapters. Because I imagine, yeah, you're right. Like for some people, that would be like a big pain in the butt.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. I'll go out of my way
to make it work for you.
Gosh. I know. Here I am. I'm a jerk to Rob. I'm a jerk to my guests. I need to get better about being friendly to people.
I am kidding. I'm kidding.
Well, what else you got on the list?
All right, so that's the Monster Cast. The reality is I haven't really done any recording, zero recording for that. So that could end up being really bad.
Be careful. You'll start getting – so where's the Monster Cast emails and questions similar to Gooch and the Douchebag? Like, hey, you guys ever going to finish Worst Console List that's been going on for
– They have been working on that for a year and a half. That's a little different.
I know. But that's what I'm expecting.
No, yeah, you're right though. If I say it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen.
There you go.
Big props to Hemrock. Hemrock sent me a Game Boy camera.
Nice.
Recently, just you know, no provocation, just something I said that I wanted, and he saw one for cheap and picked it up. And lo and behold, when it showed up, he tossed in a copy of Mega Man Extreme, which is a Game Boy title that I had never heard of. Like a Game Boy Color port of Mega Man X, I believe, with only 4 of the stages.
Really? I've never heard of it.
And, yeah, I had never heard of it either. And I brought it to school, and one of my classmates was like, hey, what are you playing? Like, Mega Man Extreme. He's like, never heard of it. So, apparently it's the Mega Man game no one's ever heard of. Well, I think it's like with the portables, I think that the Mega Man titles kind of slip into obscurity.
Yeah, honestly, I never really got that into Mega Man after the second one.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt kind of like I got behind, and I remember being put off by the dog. I don't know why, I hated it. I know, right? So I ended up getting into it back into Mega Man for 9 and 10. but so I had this gap where I played two, then I went back and played one, and then skipped ahead to nine. So, yeah.
I was never much of a Mega Man fan as a kid, but then like all the Mega Man hype around 9 and 10 got me to acquire a copy of 3, and I played 3 on a, I want to say an enormous TV, but it's, in reality, it's enormous to me. It was an old projection screen TV that we managed to have somehow.
Okay.
And I played this game, like, I played it every night in the middle of the night for some damn reason. And it's like, it was like the most intense, you know, gaming ever. I was like, yes, it's Robot Master time. And then like the whole world stopped. It was like, duh, 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 duh. I had this big book of like scratched out passwords. It doesn't make any sense because the password system was really crazy in those games.
The Mega Man 2 one was visual. Was the Mega Man 3 one like that where it was just dots on like a grid?
Oh, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, different colored dots on a grid.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
I've heard lots of people say that they can't decide whether they like 2 or 3 the best, and it's always made me want to try 3, but I've never really taken the time to give it a go.
3 is a good game, but it's a lot harder.
Is it?
I personally like 2 better, but people who like 3 better, like, I understand why. It's a good game.
Nice. Do you remember, I remember in Mega Man 2, when you would put in, like, the final password available, you still have all the stages to go through. It's almost a complete game in itself to just start after the bosses. Is it like that for Mega Man 3, do you remember?
I think they're both like that, yeah.
It's like an hour plus of gameplay after the cheat code to beat everything, which is impressive. That's a lot for an NES game.
The only solid thing that I think it really has up on 2 is that in number 2, when you wrote down your password, it didn't save the number of E-tanks you had. So you lost all your E-tanks when you continued. Whereas number 3, I was able to, you know, even though I'm not great at Mega Man, I was able to get really far because I was able to just stock up on E-tanks.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that made it a lot easier.
You know, it's nice to see game developers every once in a while kind of listening to complaints about a game. Instead of making the game easier, they just made it easier to to restore your life. You know what I mean? Instead of making like the...
Well, I mean, if you're buying a Mega Man game, you got to know what you're getting.
That's true. But back then, we didn't. I don't even know how I ended up with Mega Man. I know my mom got it for me, but I have no idea why. I never remember asking for it. I think that she got lucky. And just because it's such a corny box that she was probably like, oh, well, that looks harmless. I'll get him that. And I was hooked. The game was
sick.
That's
what
you like.
There was never a bigger source of profanity in your entire life than Mega Man.
I know. It cost me a controller or two. It was dubbed in my house Nintendo Freakout.
And really?
That's when it was time that I was not allowed to play anymore. I used to get grounded from that all the time as a kid. I'd get so worked up.
That is really funny.
You'll have that to look forward to. So since you're a big gamer, do you have a system or a game picked out that you're going to try to start your son with?
I did. Since I hadn't been playing my Genesis, I've had a Genesis for a long time, but I've only had a couple of games and I never keep it hooked up. So I figured he'll be a Genesis kid. There you go. And you can inherit that, and that sounds fair. And then I started getting good games for it, and I don't know. I'm not so sure.
Maybe he'll get your Wii.
Yeah.
Like, well, he'll probably play the Genesis more than me.
No,
he'll be over the next 5 years.
He's going to get the Genesis because I have this weird thing about where if I make a promise, even if he's only a week old and doesn't understand, I have to stick by it. So he will get a Genesis. So I imagine that he'll end up being I don't want to say a Sonic kid because Sonic seems to have a weird connotation these days. But he'll probably end up being a Sega kid.
That's very cool stuff. There's so many good titles. That's what I grew up on. And their Disney titles are really good. Like, I even like The Lion King a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I was probably too old to be enjoying The Lion King, and I still just loved it, unabashed. It was like, I don't care. This is a Disney game, and it's got Mufasa, and I think it's awesome.
Me and this guy, NG Baratsu, who hangs out on the Retro League forums, he's a guy I grew up with, good friend of mine. We were putting our heads together trying to come up with a flawless playthrough of Mickey Mania for the Sega Genesis. Because at least until Epic Mickey or whatever it is comes out, that's probably one of, if not the best, Disney licensed games out there.
I've never played it, but I've seen it brought up a lot. I feel like the Retro League talked about that. Maybe Hemrock or somebody talked about the Sega Mickey games that they're awesome.
Yeah, there's a few of them. There's a couple of Illusion titles, World of Illusion and Castle Illusion. I've never played those, but they're supposed to be really good too. I got Fantasia, and that was awful.
Oh, it's awful?
I was really, because the graphics are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it's going to be really fun, but it's just not. It's like, I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't understand why, but it's just not fun. I can't get anywhere in the game, and maybe that's it.
Did you ever play the really crappy NES Mickey and Minnie Mousecapades?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. As it turns out, I got a funny story about that. Not to cut you off.
No, go for it.
My wife is a huge Disney fanatic. Okay. Huge, huge Disney fanatic. We go to Disney World every year, and they put out those tin boxes of DVDs, and we buy those every year when they come out.
Okay.
I bought that game because she's not much into video games, so I wanted to have something that, you know, would appeal to her.
Sure.
And she took one look at it and was like, that's nice, and that was it. Oh. It cost me like $10.
After you were so, like, excited, too.
Yeah, so that's how I ended up buying a Mickey Mousecapade, Mickey Mania, because I had to make up for that piece of garbage.
Well, you know what's funny? People have games that they like that everybody hates, and you can't even defend it, and that's one of those games.
Okay, let me ask you something. Since you enjoy that game, how far can you get?
Not very. I feel like there's like an alligator maybe in the second level.
Right.
And I can beat him sometimes. I remember that, and that's about it.
I can get to the second part with the whales, and then it has this quirk with the game where when you have Minnie following you, if she falls off and you're okay, you still lose a life.
Really?
And I could never get past that. That was the deal breaker for me. I could never make that work.
I've never owned it. My grandma had it, which was weird. I wish my grandma was still around. I'd definitely have her on the show because she loved video games. It was wild. She was competitive too. Like,
really?
we had Lee Trevino's Fighting Golf, and she'd be pissed if I beat her. she was awesome. And she loved Jeopardy video games because she loved just Jeopardy and crossword puzzles. So when there was a video game Jeopardy, she went just nuts with it.
You're a lucky man.
But so maybe that's where it is. That's where it comes from. Just that.
You know, we were just this is contrary to what we were saying, but I actually have a copy of that game, and if you want it, it's all yours.
Okay. It's sweet. Absolutely. I'm just trying to think if I have any doubles. If I've got a game that, you know what, I've got Hydlid. That's a piece of shit that you can have. So,
is that an NES game? I never heard of that one.
Yeah, it was. It's one of those games that fails to match the cover art. It's got like this like knight with this like awesome dragon, and I might not even actually be saying the title of the game right. But it's got this guy, and it looks like this awesome, like, dragon, and it take everything bad about... It's a Zelda clone, but take everything that sucks about Zelda 2, make it a little worse, and have that be the only part of the game. Like, you're lost, it looks like crap, it's bad.
I have a... Being an Atari fan, one of my favorite systems is the Atari 2600.
Yeah.
I have a special affection for really bizarre and totally untruthful cover art. Because you see a lot of that on the Atari.
Well, this might be perfect for you then. Sounds like a deal. Who needs fantasy sports? We have got.
I've always had this idea for an Atari homebrew game, where the whole game is just a dot and it moves around with a joystick, and that's it.
That's it.
But the cover art would be like explosions and chicks in bikinis and like guns, and it would be like awesome. Dot would be the name of the game, and it would be cool. This guy on the cover with a big thumbs up, and it would say.
Yeah, oh, you know what? That would actually probably get you a good amount of downloads. I bet you could create a little bit of buzz on that. Like, I set out to make the worst game ever that you'll download. Here's your PDF.
Awesome.
How pissed would you be if in like a week you doubled your Coltec? You're like, man.
So heartbreaking. 30 hours. That damn game.
Well, you got any updates? I know you've mentioned it briefly. Have you actually put anything more than thought into it? Have you started working on chapter two or episode two or just...
I have started, but here's the thing. Working on chapter two, there's a certain portion of the job that has to be just getting myself back into the project. And the first thing I had to do was play through what's there already. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I lost the timeline. I had it all planned out, what was going to happen and who was going to make it and who wasn't. And all the twists was all there. Because like when I first started making Colteca, I was only doing it during lunch break, which for some damn reason was an hour and a half at school. So like I spent a good three lunch breaks writing story before I even laid in the first map.
Got you.
So that's where I'm at right now. I'm scratching all the notes. I have actually started on continuing with the game, but there's no new maps made or no new coding or anything like that.
There's one thing that if it doesn't happen, I will openly criticize you about it on there.
Oh, he dies.
But I will not. Even that would be okay. If...
you off the air, you have to tell me what it is. You have to.
Maybe.
Because no one will give me any honest feedback. Because when you're talking to a game developer, you never want to rub them the wrong way.
It's more of a plot point that I'll be mad if you don't move it forward. But yeah, the game, I liked the story quite a bit. And are you going to still use the exact same software that you used before?
Yeah, I'm using the exact same software. My plan is to just continue the game in one file, and there will be two versions that you... There will be the complete version, which is start to finish, the whole game, and there will also be an episode.
He is getting a little restless, so that sounds like a time for us to call it an episode. Anybody that does not listen to Critical Failure on Sunday nights on GNET Radio, you're with Retro Kaiser in Neo Arcadia, is that right, on Sunday nights?
Yep, Neo Arcadia comes on at 8, I come on at 9, and Kaiser comes on live at 10.
Very cool.
That's Eastern time.
Everyone check him out at TigerClawTV.com. There's one thing we didn't really get into, and maybe you'll bring it up in your show, but the Tekken 3, the little blurb that you had on your website about it being exclusive, by the way, excellent review. It was very good. I really enjoyed it. So, and I don't want you to really get in any pissing matches with anybody, but... Everyone should go check out that video and the little blurb about it. Are there people that are that passionate about that game?
Yeah, this is what happened. Just to put in a couple sentences because I know we're trying to wind down.
Sure, no, you can take time. I just don't want to keep you long.
No, it's not. This isn't going to light any fires or anything like that. I posted the video to Ito Bandito, Lance Cortez is his real name. He's the guy who's in charge of the Art of Force. And his only problem with the video was that there's one part where you can hear my son in the background. Because it was much like it is right now. I mean, when I'm responsible for him, I can't lock him up in his room, you know, and say, okay, you're not going to, you know what I'm saying? So he was like, dude, can you go edit him out? So and I was like, well, you know, if I do that, it's hosted by a cartoon, so all the frames of animation are going to go off sync with the audio. So, no, I can't. And he's like, and he also said in his letter, that's a really popular game, so just be, it's going to drum up some hate mail, you know, so just be aware of that. So rather than, like, remake it and re-edit it, I just decided to clip the Art of Force beginning and just make it exclusive on my website.
Very cool.
So it's really only to avoid a bunch of hate mail. And, yeah, I tested it in front of two people, Retro Kaiser and Jerry Terrifying, and they both were like, dude, you're talking bad about Tekken? Like, well, what did I do? Did I do something wrong?
I never would have picked up on that. I would have been like, oh yeah, I've never really thought Tekken was that great. Like, just because I've never really played it. But it would have went completely over my head that it could have drummed up any controversy.
Well, I didn't say the game was terrible or anything. I was never a huge Tekken fan. I just pointed out what I never thought about any of that when I was making it. I was being completely honest.
No, absolutely. And the I always heard about Law and Bruce Lee kind of being... Law being a Bruce Lee ripoff, but the way that you kind of broke it down was just pretty fitting.
I never heard anything about any of that game. Like, I saw it in a bin for a dollar, and that was the first I ever heard about it. Ooh, Tekken, here we go.
Yeah, well, why not? It's like, well, it's popular. So it was interesting. It was informative. So you should throw it on YouTube and see what you get. Maybe you'll have some juicy emails and responses for Tiger Claw Radio someday. I think you should throw it up for some of your subscribers on YouTube.
After this spot, you know what? I think I might. I wasn't going to, but now I think I will.
Definitely. I think you should. You have quite a few subscribers now, so you might be able to actually drum up some reaction, which would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of getting out of control. Like,
you feel pretty obligated to keep them going, the videos?
I don't know if obligated is the right word. I want to keep – maybe that is the right word because I do want to keep them going, and I kind of feel bad when it's been like a long time.
Yeah, so
I don't know.
Well, cool. Well, I've already seen it, but I'll also give a like and a hit on YouTube as well. So anybody that hasn't seen Tiger Claw Radio, Tiger Claw, or Tiger Claw TV, go to TigerClawTV.com, and you'll be able to access everything Critical Failure related.
You have been very generous with your plugs this episode, my man.
Thank hey, no problem. I had like the Retro League and you give us props and mentions from the very first crappy Echoey episode. So anything I can do to try to spread the word for other podcasts that have been pretty cool to us, I will take every opportunity to do that.
That's cool, man. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for filling in for Tony. We wish him the absolute best. We're really sad that he wasn't here. Unlike Tony, I'm not comfortable just rambling by myself. I don't know how you do it every week. You enjoy.
I don't either. Lots of coffee.
I would just have to be in a.
It's time to talk about video games.
You know, like you almost have to be in a different mindset. Like, I talk to myself all the time, but like I find myself repeating myself in my own head than I do in normal conversation. So
yeah,
I'm trying
to. It's a very healthy thing to do because sometimes I end up like I'll be in the car and like I'll just start talking and like drumming that, and that's how I drum up some material for the show. Is like I'll just start babbling about video games just in my car by myself. It's like, and we're back.
At least people like tune in to listen to your own rambling, so you should take some solace on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Tony, we miss you a lot, man. I hope that the rest of your shapes up a little better. Yeah, absolutely. Really, really good guy. So until next week. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. And Critical Failure, thanks again for joining.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. A lot of fun.